You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio, for another day, Monday through Friday, 2 to 5 p.m. We are here doing what the guy said a minute ago, presenting it to you in a way that is solid, conservative, and just plain right. And Copper is running the board. Good day to you, Miss Copper.
Good day. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. We're almost to Friday. We're almost there.
Busy week.
It has been a busy week. It's been a full week, and it's going to be a full day. I mean, we got get my triple dipper sound effect ready, because I'll do that here in just 1 second. But just so you know, too, today's another one of those days where I've got a segment that I always love doing. At 4 p.m. today, we're going to have the Grand Council. That's when my buddies Jeff Poor from 106.5 on the Coast and Dale Jackson from right here at WVNN jump on the air with me. We ping each other back and forth on questions and see how we do. But the triple dipper for the day, the things you got to know. Hit it, Copper.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
Yeah, so here's number one in the triple dipper. This is basically, I've got several examples today. They're all kind of coalescing right now of states fighting back. And that's so important because we are a republic. And the 10th Amendment to the Constitution does give the states a sovereign right, a necessity to speak into the issues on behalf of their states. And so states are fighting back, and there's some stories I'll tell you about that here in a minute. Number two, Democrats are completely unraveling. Yes, I'm biased. I am a Republican. But nonetheless, it's very obvious they are unraveling, especially when you see the liberal media beginning to have to acknowledge Biden's tanking numbers and what that's doing to his agenda. So Democrats are unraveling. You can also tell it when they start calling you racists and that everything is bad. And I'll tell you about that in a moment. Next one is this, show me the money. So big spending going on in Montgomery, big spending going on up in D.C. Deals are being made. I'm just wondering, where's the money? And then again, how are they spending some of the money that was already appropriated in ways you may not have expected? And I'll talk about that. Show me the money. That's number three. But I got to start with this. So here's the deal. This morning early, a lot of times I'll get up early, I'll have a cup of coffee and just have some quiet time there, and then I'll read through the news and see what's new for the day and start thinking through where this show is going to go every day. And this morning, really early, I mean, I guess this is somewhere around 6:15, I happened to see an article from the Crimson White, which my recollection is that's the campus newspaper or the campus news site for University of Alabama. It was actually an opinion piece, and it was written by a student named Alex, and I'll just stick with his first name. His or her, I don't know if Alex is a male or female. All I do know is this, is I'm just going to stick with Alex's first name because I don't know if they're a minor or not. But the reality is this. The last name on the article is there if you want to see it, but the title of the article is, quote, "Football games don't have to be super spreader events." You heard me. Football games, according to Alex, don't have to be super spreader events. Now, I would encourage you, first of all, to point to me where they have been super spreader events. Has anyone seen a super spreader guarantee because of an NCAA football game? I haven't, and it's been a pretty good season so far. And I've been noticing the crowds are just enjoying being back in place. Isn't that a wonderful thing to watch something as fundamental to fun as NCAA football? And the crowds are back, and they're yelling, and they're cheering, and the bands are playing, and the players are on the field, and it's been good. Well, Alex, the student from University of Alabama, starts off by celebrating the same thing, that the NCAA football is back, that Bryant-Denny Stadium, along with many others, is full of fans. He or she even admits they've been attending games themselves. And then Alex stepped off into O2 familiar territory. Fear. "It's scary," said Alex. "So many people are not vaccinated, not wearing masks. We're creating super spreader events." And he wishes the university would establish some firmer protocols. Like what? He cited himself that only 27 students and 13 faculty are currently listed as having contracted COVID on campus as we speak. 27 and 13. A total of 40 on the whole campus. "But the games are only going to get bigger," he says. "Tennessee and Arkansas are coming up. There's no way to contain the outbreak. We must require proof of vaccinations or a negative test." And then Alex ends with a plea. I mean, a literal plea. And I'm reading this with a quotation mark around it. If you have not received a dose, I urge you to, for your own sake, for the sake of your neighbors. And if for those reasons, and those reasons are not enough for you, then for the sake of college football, I urge the University of Alabama to do everything in its power to ensure the safety of our community. Requiring proof of vaccination or COVID-19 test results for football games is an easy way to do so. Well, bless his heart. Here's the deal, folks. Life is scary. It's what you do with it that matters. John Wayne once said, and this is a quote, "Courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway." People like Alex shrieking into the wind about the sky falling are not helping anything. In fact, they are capitulating to one of the worst symptoms of the entire pandemic, the symptom of fear. I remember once I was conducting a static line parachute jump with my unit. We were jumping out of Chinook helicopters, jumping off the ramp. The jump master had just given all the commands, and we were literally just maybe 30 seconds away from exiting the aircraft, putting our knees to the breeze. And one of my team sergeants was right in front of me in my stick. He's a former Ranger Battalion guy. He was airborne, air assault, Ranger qualified, and he looked at me right then before the jump as if he wished he was anywhere else. "I hate doing this," he said, and we're yelling at each other because of the sound of the rotary wash. He goes, "I hate doing this," he said. "What do you mean?" I asked. He said, "I'm scared of heights. I hate this." I said, "So why do you do it?" Well, that last question drew a look that told me the lieutenant had just asked the staff sergeant a ridiculous question. The answer is because it's what we do. Fear can be a motivator. Overcoming fear is an even greater motivator. Our society has been ransacked by predictions of doom and actual bad news, I acknowledge it's out there, but actual bad news has been exacerbated by people like Alex, by a media that hates the idea of encouragement, by a government that has realized they can exert new controls as long as you stay scared. Stay home. Social distance. Mask your two-year-old. Don't go to church. Order your food from the curbside. It's too scary to work. Well, listen. The greatest moments in life occur when we get out of the shadows, come out of the cave, step back into the light. I have never been inspired by anyone who operated from fear and cowed down, and neither have you. Thank you to all of you who have gone to work every day to keep society running. Thank you to the pastor of the major church who told me recently that he would never again shut his church down. Thank you to the men and women of the first responder and medical communities who went to work every day before there was ever a vaccine and still got the job done. Thank you to the small business owners who endured being declared non-essential by the government and kept their employees paid and fed. Thank you to the teachers who love on their students and care for them personally despite the fact that school boards and teachers unions have been declaring that it was too scary for them to work. Thank you to the family members who maintained connectivity and even defied those who told them they could not see grandma just to keep the family strong. Thank you to all of you who have rejected fear and know that we have never built anything worth having by staying beaten down, by hiding, by belittling those who say we should join them in the shadows. You fearmongers can go pound sand. You are not contributors. You are pariahs. You're living off the efforts of those who saw reasons for fear, but they saddled up anyway. Fear is not the acceptable reaction. It is normal, certainly. It happens. I get scared all the time. I've had moments in my life facing illness or facing business decisions or facing actual armed enemies or overcoming personal struggles or paying bills. But I do believe what it says in 2 Timothy 1:7. The New American Standard Version says it this way: God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and love and self-discipline. So buck up. Choke back fear. Reject the notions of the naysayers and the critics and the fearmongers. The world needs the doers, the ones who will see fear realistically and saddle up anyway, and ride for as long as it is needed. Fear is not the acceptable end state. Fear destroys. Courage is what builds. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, man. I'm on a soapbox today. Listen, I'm serious. I saw that and I thought, you know, truthfully, I thought, bless his heart. My first response was irritation with that Crimson White article or op-ed. And I looked at it and thought, that's just wrong-headed. You went to the game. There have been no super spreader events, Alex. There's hardly anybody on your campus with an active case of COVID right now. People are doing everything they can, and life has to go back on. So come out of the shadows, people. Saddle up. We got work to do. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.